Well, good morning, fellowship. Man, it's good to be with you guys in 2020. It's hard to believe that we're finally in this. We've finished out one decade, and now we're starting another decade in the year of 2020. It's hard to believe, but we're so thankful to be able to do that together as a church family, and you guys have heard that mentioned even several times this morning. My name is Brandon Bernard. I'm one of the teaching pastors at Fellowship Bible Church, and if you're a guest with us here this morning, hopefully you know this, but you may not know this. We're one church in multiple locations. We have five different campuses, and so when you're here on this campus, you're actually part of something that's even bigger than what you see here, and God's doing some tremendous things in our church and through our church family, and we're so excited about that. And so if you're new with us, thanks for being here. We hope that you are feeling comfortable here and welcomed here. We're so glad that you are here, and we're looking forward to great days ahead. And we are starting a new series. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in a series called Gospel in Culture, okay? And we've actually done this before here at Fellowship. It's been several years now. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but we did a series called Gospel in Culture, where we actually talked about sexuality. We talked about nationalism. We talked about racism. Talked about right to life. And so we actually covered some pretty broad topics that are hot potatoes, if you will. People kind of want to know what the church thinks about these things, or maybe what the Bible has to say about these things. And gospel in culture, okay? We named it that for a reason. Because a lot of times people have this view of gospel versus culture, okay? Like a lot of times people say, okay, we've got gospel versus culture. But a lot of times that mindset is not actually the gospel, okay? A lot of times the verses tension that you feel is sometimes when you have religion, like, and the way we would define that maybe in some ways is if you're performing for God, like religion, like I've got to perform, I've got to do these things, act a certain way so that I can be loved by God, accepted by God. So you kind of have this performance, a religion, if you will. And then you have kind of like irreligion of people who really don't care if they're accepted by God, don't want to be accepted by God, kind of want to be away from God, resist God. So a lot of times when you have kind of religious versus irreligious, then that's when you get a lot of tension. Okay, that's when you get a lot of kind of conflict, if you will. And certainly as believers, when we're living in the society, living in the culture, we're going to have conflict. Because when you teach the scriptures and you teach the teachings of Jesus and you claim those and live those, it's going to bring some tension. Okay, it is. But one of the things that we want to strive for here at Fellowship is we want to teach the scriptures, and we believe the scriptures in a way that the gospel actually has a way to influence our culture. Okay. There's a way for us to live the transforming love and grace of Jesus Christ in such a way that it affects everything and everyone around us in our culture, okay? So we want to address that. And so for the next few weeks, we're actually going to be taking a few topics. Today, we're talking about technology, and we're going to talk about technology next week because we felt like it was so important that it needed 2 weeks. We could actually take like 6 weeks and talk about it, but we're only going to take 2 weeks. And then we're going to spend a Sunday, we're going to talk about immigration, and then we're going to spend a Sunday, we're going to talk about gender identity and the gospel, okay? So we're going to have 4 weeks of topics that are pretty loaded, if you will. And then that fifth week, actually, Cody and I think maybe a few others are going to lead in another series, not a series, but another topic that has to deal with gospel in culture. And so today we come to this idea of technology, okay? And I just want to go ahead and say up front, there's no way that I'm going to say enough today. There's no way that Cameron's going to say enough next week, because he's going to be teaching next week about this idea of technology that's going to answer every question that you have. But technology is a beautiful thing, and we do love that. Matter of fact, I was thinking about technology even last night as I sent a text all the way across the world to Cody Calhoun, campus pastor here. Cody is in Botswana, and he and Jessica are there, and I sent him a text and said, hey, man, how's it going? We're praying for you, and we want to pray for him. He was preaching today, which that's already happened, so don't worry about praying for that right now, because it's already happened, but he's in Botswana. But I want you to see this picture. He sent me a picture. This is the beauty of technology, right? Look at this. Cody and Jessica on the right there looking good, and then Les and Elisa on the far left. They're a couple there. She's over our Global Missions here at Fellowship, but they're in Botswana, and he was teaching the good news, and we're exploring a partnership with the ministry there. And so, look, that's the beauty of technology. Think about that, okay? They got on a kind of a hollow tube with wings, and they flew, right, all across the world, right? I mean, you think about just the technology of that. And last night, from my couch in Little Rock, I sent a text through a smartphone device that went all the way to the other side of the world, and within 5 minutes, Cody texts me back. I mean, technology is crazy. It's crazy how it's such a game changer, okay? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a high-level view. We'll talk about a few practical things, but in next week, we want to get real practical, too, about how we engage with technology. I want to show you a couple resources because sometimes parents, individuals, singles, whatever, they're asking, hey, are there any tools out there, any resources that can help that are, you know, biblical and practical at the same time? Listen, 12 ways your phone is changing you. You want to read this, but you don't want to read this. Okay, I'm just telling you straight up. All right, teenagers, you want to read this, but you don't want to read this. 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You by Tony Rinke. Hey, Cameron taught me some good technology. He said, look, if you can't write this down, take a picture with your phone. Okay, give you full permission, pull it out, take a picture. All right, Competing Spectacles, a book by Tony Rinke. Both of those books are so good, so gospel-centered, but they're very practical, and they speak to kind of the age that we're living in. The third one is TechWise Family. That's going to be good for a lot of you who have family, kids, young kids, teenage kids. It's going to be a great resource for you to kind of think about how you engage with technology in this day and age. And so those are three resources that as elders and teachers, we would say, thumbs up. We think these are great resources for you to engage in. And we just kind of wanted to give that to you as we set it up. Okay. So technology, game changer. And technology is not just about computers, smartphones, iPads. Okay. It's not just about video games. I mean, technology covers all forms and fashions. All right. I mean, I'm wearing clothes. Thank God for technology. Right. I'm wearing a belt. Thank God for technology. I'm speaking through a microphone. Thank God for technology. We've got lights. We've got heat and air, depending upon what time of year it is. I mean, technology is so useful and beneficial. I tell a story about my grandfather. He was a great man. He lived a long life. My grandfather lived till he was 97 years old. And he was, I mean, up until his late 80s, he was going to like the, you know, the gym and swimming. I mean, it took him a long time, but he was swimming, you know, these laps. And he even saved a kid's life one time when he was like 89. I'm like, how'd you do that? Just held him up. I was like, well, that's amazing. Just a great guy. He was tough, gentle, World War II vet. For all of you who've served in the military, thank you for your service. He was a World War II vet, served in the Army. He had Buck. That was his nickname, and it was tattooed on his forearm. And it's a forearm that people saw because he boxed in the Army. So a lot of people saw Buck up close. And but he was a loving, gentle man. He loved God. He loved his family. He loved his church. He loved his community. He was a master plumber. That was really his trade for his whole life. He drove a Dodge Sundance, okay? Some of you remember that. Some of you don't because we don't have them anymore. But he drove a Dodge Sundance that he paid cash for. And he was not so much about technology, but he was a man of honor, worked hard all of his life. But in that Dodge Sundance that he drove 4 years, he would come home, and he would pull up in his driveway, and then he would get out of his car, rain or shine, and he would go to his garage, and he would pull the garage up, and then he would go get back in his car and pull the car in the garage, okay? Some of you actually remember what that's like, okay? And so he did that forever, 4 years, even when he didn't have to. So much so, I think the kids and grandkids decided one day, were like, you know what? You really need this thing called a garage door opener. It's a game changer. And he kind of resisted forever, you know? He kind of like, I'm going to do this the old-fashioned way. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get out of my car, rain or shine, lift up the garage door, get back. You guys quit being lazy. And I mean, it's just all that stuff, right? Until we finally put it in. And then we put it in, and it was like, he's like, yeah, watch this. And then he closes it down. He's like, it's raining. I don't care. I mean, it was just amazing technology that he was like, this is the best. He's like, I should have converted years ago. We're like, yes, you should. I mean, like, it was because, you know, as we got the grandkids were the ones that had to do it when we were growing up. So it's one of those things that you look at technology, and again, that's one little illustration, but you could go on about all the things that technology has accomplished through the years, and you look at how good it is and how God uses it for good in our lives and the ways that it changes us. Now, it's interesting because things are moving and changing so fast these days, it seems like something is outdated before you actually even finish buying it, you know? It's like, I just bought the new iPhone. Well, there's another version. I mean, it's like, what? How? All these things kind of, it changes so fast, right? The rapid pace at which technology is changing things makes it virtually impossible to keep up with everything. And that's why this topic is so crucial, okay? It's why we want to talk about it, because it affects virtually every part of our lives. So it affects your relationships, it affects your finances, it affects your leisure, it affects your work, it affects your home, okay? It affects your, just kind of the way that you're viewed among friends. I mean, it just affects so much stuff in our life. And some people see it as a godsend, like it's really good. Some people see it as evil and just like, I'm going to get by with the bare minimum of technology I can get by with because the rest of it is just pure evil. And so you kind of have people that are on both sides of the coin there. But what you're actually going to see Scripture teach about is that it's actually both, good and evil. And that's why we want to speak to it. That's why we have this series, Gospel and Culture, and we ask this question, how does the good news of Jesus Christ, like how does his transforming love and grace, how does that affect how we live and how we engage with technology? What is Jesus' death on a cross and his resurrection from the dead? Like, what does that have to do with living in an age of advanced technology? How do we engage technology? Is it a friend or foe? How do we live in this world, and how does the gospel affect the culture in this way? And so we're going to kind of take a look at that because the origin and the kind of impact of technology, it begins with God, all right? It begins with God. So I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1. I'll skip to that verse, and then we'll come back to the blank. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, I want you to see what it says in the Word of God about how God created us, okay? So let me just kind of read this to you, beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Okay, a little side note. Week 4 of this series is on gender identity in the gospel. He created them male and female. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about that. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to shrink back. We're going to talk about what God believes about how he created individuals. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" All right? So you see this passage of Scripture, and it's talking about how God has created us and made us in his image. He's made us in his image. Well, part of being made in his image is God is a creator. He actually created out of nothing. Okay, you don't do that. I don't do that. We can't do that. We don't create out of nothing. He created out of nothing. But he did make us to be people of intellect and design, people of creativity, people who can think that way. And that's why we benefit from so many things of technology, because God has given this to people to be able to think and have intellect and to create and design and engineer and all those things that I stand amazed at. So God did this. He created us this way. Matter of fact, you can see in your bulletin there, the blank, God created us to fill the earth and subdue it. Okay? So when it comes to men and women, this is how God created us. He created us to fill the earth and subdue it, to be in authority over it. Right? To have dominion over the earth. And part of subduing the earth, part of having dominion over it, is this idea that as we create things, as we design things, as we use our intellect to create something like electricity, indoor plumbing, to have heating and cooling, to have all these things that God has somehow, the people of the Wright brothers who created the airplane, like you look at all these different things and you stand back and go, I'm amazed and how people have so much ingenuity and they're able to do that. Well, guess where it comes from? It comes from God. Even if people have invented things like medicines that help give us cures, even if people have invented things that help us drive like the automobile, even though people have invented these things, some of those people have been believers in Jesus Christ and some of those people have not been believers in Jesus Christ. But guess what? Whether they believe in Christ or don't believe in Christ, let me tell you where the ingenuity and the creativity and the intellect came from. It came from God. It came from God. He created us in his image, and he told us to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth, to use our God-given minds and intellect to live and create and design and invent and to do those things. So that's kind of where we start in the midst of this whole series. And what's interesting is when you look at the book of Genesis and you look all the way through the scriptures to Revelation, I think you guys know this, but in case you don't, let me just kind of remind you, the book of Genesis begins in a garden, right? And the book of Revelation actually ends in a city. Some of you are like, I don't know. City, all right? City. We go from garden to city, okay? We go from kind of what feels like rural agriculture to a city where the streets are actually paved with gold, okay? Let me tell you something. God, a little theology of technology, okay? God created us, and he knew that this technological advancement would work and make it. He created it that way, from garden to city. He knew it was going to go that direction. That's the way he created it. So we experience that in so many ways. God's plan involved this technological advancement. And the idea is this: Christians should take full advantage of sovereign giftings to live a life that glorifies God and draws others to him. Okay? So let's kind of talk about technology, because there are some high-level things we need to engage in before we get real practical next week. But the first thing is this: technology is a gift of God, okay, that can be and has been used for good. Okay? It's a gift of God that has been and can be used for good. So overarching, some people who are like, man, technology is just like, whoa. We'll get by with the bare necessities, but that smartphone, that internet, it's of the devil. And all those kinds of things. And we can talk about that in a moment. But whether it's video games, computer screens, all those kinds of things that we want to kind of address, here's the baseline of it all. Technology is a gift of God that can be and has been used for good. And we need to recognize that. Scripture teaches that. It kind of shows instances of that. You can see where Noah, right? Noah built an ark. Took him a long time. And a lot of creativity and a lot of ingenuity. Some tools that probably were created, had to be created to build this enormous boat so that he could survive the flood. So you understand that God can use this technology for good. To display his glory, to display his power, to display his might. Listen, when the children of Israel, they built something called the tabernacle, right? It was the place to host the presence of God. And God gave specific commands. Matter of fact, if you're doing a Bible reading plan, when you get to Exodus, there's a section where you're like, man, this is like so detailed. Because he just gives detail after detail after detail about how they're supposed to construct the tabernacle. But listen to what he says about the people doing it. Listen to this. This is in Exodus, okay? This is in Exodus chapter 35, and it goes kind of into chapter 36. But listen to what it says. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft, and he has inspired him to teach both him and Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled him with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer." Do you hear that? "Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded." I mean, this is great. God's saying, listen, these guys, I have given them skills. I've given them skills to take these crafts and to take all these things and to gather people, and not just to do it, but to teach other people to do it. This is just one instance in the Bible where God's saying, he's putting his stamp on technology and kind of going, I've made this. This is good. Use it. Use it for my glory. Use it for my glory. So when you turn the lights on, for God's glory. When you enjoy the warmth of a fire, for God's glory. When you enjoy driving down the street, when you enjoy a fine meal, for God's glory. You look at all these things and say, God has made technology to be a good gift, to be used for his good. And here's what we know, kind of specifically, a couple things. It modifies creation, helps us live in a fallen world, okay? So one of the things that technology does, if you read that book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, or Shaping You, when you look at that, he gives some lists of things that I think are very helpful. One of them is he talks about this idea that how technology modifies creation and helps us live in a fallen world, okay? So think about, I was just telling someone earlier about one of our ministry partners, Africa New Life. Some of you know about Africa New Life. They are in Rwanda. And they just built the first hospital in Rwanda. It's the first private hospital in Rwanda that actually gives epidurals to women when they give birth. Okay? Game changer. All right? Game changer for the country of Rwanda. Okay? Ladies, you hear that? Just now, 2018. Okay? So you look at how it modifies creation, because we live in a fallen, broken world. Think about cancer research. Listen, cancer is still a killer. It's still a nasty disease. We live in this fallen, broken world. But you know what? There are a lot of men and women who are still alive, even though they had breast cancer or prostate cancer, because of all the technology that we've advanced to. And you look up and go, praise God, that there are people that are still living, breathing on this planet because of that technology. Do you understand that? So it's modified creation in the fact that we live in a fallen, broken world. I just read a book where it talked about a whole village in Nepal that got wiped out because of cholera. of cholera. You know, you can help that disappear just by having some clean water and a few medicines that can kind of take care of that. Do you understand that? So technology helps modify creation living in a fallen, broken world that we live in. And so that's good. And we look up and go, that's a good thing. We think about agriculture, farmers that are able to farm. We think about just the advancements in medicine. We think about the fact that you can talk to your grandkids or your grandparents who live three states away or another country away on FaceTime. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that we look up and go, man, it modifies creation and the fact that we live in a fallen, broken world. But you know what? It can also encourage our hearts and strengthen our souls, right? The reason we say that, it can encourage our hearts and strengthen our souls is, listen, praise God for the printing press. Praise God that somebody had the technological skills to translate languages. Do you guys realize that the gospel will probably spread to the ends of the earth because of technology? You realize that? That we can take the gospel into places because of the internet. We can train pastors in other countries that have no access to the kind of books and education that we have because of the internet. Do you realize that? I mean, there are so many things you look up and go, it's encouraging to our hearts and our souls because of the way technology can be used. So listen, one of the things we need to take away from here today is that the origin of technology is God, and he gave it to us as a good gift to be used for good. Flip side. Okay, technology is a gift of God that unfortunately can be used for evil and has been used for evil. See, technology itself is a gift of God. But because we live in a fallen, broken world, the users of that gift can take it and use it for evil. And it has been used for evil. And by the way, we can go down multiple ways. Listen, I praise God. I talked about men and women who served in our armed forces, and I'm very thankful for your service. And by God's grace, our military at times throughout history has had to step into some very dark places where leaders were leading with great injustice with tools of technology. You understand that? Weapons of war, weapons of mass destruction, things that were happening because of. And we're not here to debate war. We're not here. Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. So God's word speaks to that in a way that I think is pretty clear. But the reality of it is that there are leaders around the world, there are people around the world that have taken copper and bronze and iron and all those kinds of things, and they have used them for destruction, for injustice, for evil. But we also know that there's places on the internet, in our iPhones, video games that have opened up a whole world of lust and pornography. Things that are destroying men and women, destroying teenagers, literally robbing them of their life. And you look at some of the trafficking that's happening around the world. You look at some of the injustices that are happening around the world. It's because people, men and women, have taken technology and they have used it for evil. And it's wreaking havoc. And Satan is taking these tools, he's taking these things that were meant to be a gift of God, and he is using it and he's working in people in the ways that it's causing it to wreak damage. And that's why there are marriages that are broken up. That's why there are newlywed couples who are struggling in their marriage from the very first days of their marriage because someone's addicted to pornography or someone has gone down a road where technology has been used for ill. It's wreaking all kinds of havoc and it's caused all kinds of evil. And by the way, you can read the book of Kings, you can read the book of Chronicles. It talks about how people who have worshiped gods, other gods, they've made idols out of these things. And that's what's happened. People have made an idol out of Facebook. People have made an idol out of Instagram, Snapchat, video games. People have made an idol out of your hobbies, your leisure, their technology, out of your boat, out of your hunting gear, out of all these things. There are people who have taken good things and made them into idols. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But the reality of it is that it can be used for evil in your life. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 11, because this is something that happened in the book of Genesis. See, on one hand, you have the tabernacle, where they built the tabernacle for the glory of God, and they used technology for good. And then you have something called the Tower of Babel. Okay, listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 9, because it gives us just this picture of what it looks like when people are not following God's ways. Verse 1, now the whole earth had one language in the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks, technology, and burn them thoroughly, technology. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And then watch this. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down. It's amazing. They're going to build the biggest thing in the world, and God still has to stoop down, right? That's how big he is. He came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Listen, in God's humility, he created us to do great things. He did. This is only the beginning of what they do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. He's saying, listen, they're on a roll, and they're going to keep going. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language. See, God's not hindered by it because he's stronger than us. He's mightier than us. He's sovereign over us. He's in control over all technology. He's not wringing his hands going, the internet's going to bring down my kingdom. He's not doing that. He's not. He's in control over all things. But listen to what happens. Nothing they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. And therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them all over the face of all the earth. Listen, they came together with all this great technology and great ideas and said, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's give ourselves glory and not God. Let's see what we can do. Let's push our technological advancements to the hilt. And let's build this tower. Here's what Tony Ranke says in his book. He says, more than a simple skyscraper, Babel was a new empire with a central city unified around a temple, all dedicated to the worship of human progress. Listen, people worshiping human progress is not new, everybody. It's not new. It's not new. Okay? The things and issues that we face in our culture today, they're not new. Yeah, it's new that you can take a picture and send it to somebody. It's new that you can FaceTime someone around the world. It's new that you can get on a plane. That didn't exist during these days. Those things are new. But let me tell you something. The root and heart behind what causes all this is not new. It's not. It's been around for a long time. He says this, Babel was man's attempt to hijack technology and to fabricate an entire society and religious life in rebellion to the Creator. Before they built a tower into the sky, the people of Babel drew a line in the sand that said to the Creator, that said to God, human autonomy will take credit for technological innovation from here on. Thank you very much. Basically saying, we got this, God. We don't need you. We can do this without you, which they couldn't. It can be used for evil, and a couple of reasons why. It can perpetuate power and control. That's what technology can do. I mean, that's why when you see leaders who are using weapons of mass destruction and other things for injustices, to hold power over their people. You know, it's interesting because for years, there were even religious people who held power over the people by not giving them the word of God in their own language. It was a use of power and control. We don't want you to know this. So people can perpetuate power and control. Technology can do that. Whether it's education and knowledge that gives and brings power and withhold from it, or you perpetuate power through weapons that are made that obviously can be used for good, but that can be used for evil. Jeremiah 9:23 says, this says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understand and knows me, that I'm the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. But it's basically saying, look, don't delight in your wisdom and your riches and your knowledge and all that kind of stuff, your technology. Don't boast in that. Boast in me. Boast that you know me and that you're going to follow me, my rule and reign and kingdom. So it can perpetuate this power and control, but you know, it can also cultivate selfishness. Man, technology cultivates selfishness. Oh my goodness, if I have seen students and young adults who are taking so many selfies of themselves and retaking selfies and retaking selfies because it didn't look just right, and they're doing all these things, and it's how they communicate and all these kinds of things, not just trying to ride on all the teenagers in the room, I'm just saying that if you're not careful, you'll raise yourself up in a generation where you're making it all about you and about how you look. And it perpetuates selfishness. TV can perpetuate selfishness. You're going to sit down and watch what you want to watch, and it's all about you, and nobody else needs to mess with me because I'm in my zone, I'm doing this. It can perpetuate selfishness, right? So you can look at these technological advances, even the things that you use for tools, whether it's for hunting or sports or, you know, things that you enjoy doing, hobbies that you have, guess what? It can be good, but it can also be something that is used for evil in the sense that it can perpetuate selfishness because this is about you. And I can find myself in the same vein. Search the internet, spending time on sports stuff that I just love and just getting locked into it over and over and over again. It can cultivate selfishness. But we need to move on, okay? It can be used for good, it can be used for evil. But here's something else you know. Technology affects our relationships, okay? It affects our relationships. I mean, do you know that there are marriage counseling situations that I get into with people that one of the main problems is this right here? You know what that is, right? You know how many homes are filled with moms and dads and sons and daughters that, you know, it's just easier, man, if you let the kids play with it because then I don't have to deal with them. And I don't have to actually parent, which is what God's called me to do. And so, and believe me, I'm guilty of it. Okay, guilty. I get it, all right? Husbands and wives laying in bed, they're not praying together. They're not having intimacy together. They're doing this. That's what they're doing. And they're wondering why their marriage is falling apart. I don't mean to kind of get into that. I'm just saying this, that it affects our relationships. By the way, sometimes for the good. I'm thankful that grandma and pop can talk to my kids on FaceTime because they don't live in the same town as us. I love that. And you know what? It's actually forged something good in their relationship, which is awesome. See, so technology can shape relationships, both good and bad. I love it that I can text people. I love it that I can text someone and when I'm thinking about it just like that and go, you know what? Thought about you today. Prayed for you today. Happy birthday today. I love that. Love that. It can strengthen relationships. It can encourage people, okay? But however you look at it, it shapes relationships. We can talk about that a little bit more, but it shapes relationships. What's sad to me is, isn't it interesting, okay, all the people in the room that really love technology, isn't it interesting that we live in the most connected age and yet we're struggling with the most disconnected people ever? Crazy. That we're so connected, and yet we have so many people that feel disconnected. It's happening. But technology can shape our relationships with the earth. You know, one of the things that Ranky points out is like, you can actually do something now that people years ago couldn't do. You can actually get on Google Earth and see things from a perspective that people have never been able to see. It's crazy. So it shapes our relationship with the earth. It shapes our relationship with one another. It shapes our relationship with God. Like I said, some of you use the apps, use the Bible app. I mean, for crying out loud, I drove here today with my AirPods in my ear, my phone on my lap, and I'm preaching from an iPad. I mean, I get it, right? I get it. From a technological standpoint, we look at that. It shapes our relationships. Here's one of the last things I want to kind of say this. Technology can be used to glorify God or glorify ourselves, right? So when we kind of look at the foundation of what we're talking about, again, next week we're going to get a little more practical with some things, so you're going to feel that. For some of you that walk away today go, can you tell me how to deal with my kid? Like, how do we, we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week, okay? We'll get a little more practical. But the main thing is this, technology can be used for God's glory or for glorifying ourselves. So a lot of times when students get caught up in what they're caught up in, it's because it's about them and not about God. For adults, a lot of times when we get caught up in things that are technological advance for us, it's because it's about us and not God. And what we've got to figure out is how do we use technology in a way that glorifies God? How do we use technology in a way that glorifies God? Because everything that was created is meant to glorify something, okay? Listen to what it says in Colossians 3, 17 through 23 and 24. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? That's about glory. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, okay? It's for God's glory. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you're serving the Lord Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, 31. It says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, okay? In the Greek, that means whatever you do, okay? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything. Man, watch TV to the glory of God. Eat to the glory of God. Exercise to the glory of God. Play board games with your family to the glory of God, right? Everything you do to the glory of God. You go, how is that possible? It is. It's possible. Now, again, you can't be watching sinful things and say, well, just do this to the glory of God. No, okay, no, that's not the way that works, right? Because when you're actually doing things to the glory of God, you know that you're following his rule, his reign, which, by the way, love, Joel Pfeiffer, love you, the way that you led this morning, the songs that you chose. I know you always thoughtfully think through those, but today the songs are singing, all glory be to Christ our King, man, all glory be to Christ. Love that. Because that's really what we're created for. But sometimes what's happening in our world is that we're not giving glory to God because we're so inundated with our technology. So let me just dip practical for a second and we'll kind of wrap this up. You know, stats are always changing, but do you know that one of the stats said this, that we check our smartphones 81,500 times a year? That's an average of 4.3 minutes. That means that technically you've checked it already 8 times during my sermon. 4.3 times minutes, every 4.3 minutes. For some of you, when your feet hit the ground in the morning, the first thing that you get, it's not your cup of coffee, it's not your Bible, it's not, the first thing you do is check your phone. Now again, am I standing up here saying it's a sin? It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that you know that we are gripped by this. And these are powerful tools that we have in our hands, especially when you think about phones. Did you know that for most of you who have a smartphone, that your GPS app, the GPS that guides you, okay? Because some of us still remember we had to carry maps in our car. We remember that, right? I'm old enough to remember that. But the GPS app on your phone, it processes things 30,000 times faster than the computer that navigated Apollo 1 to the surface of the moon, Apollo 11 to the surface of the moon. Think about that. You have more processing power, 30,000 times the speed of what took a ship to the moon, and it sits in your pocket. That's unbelievable. But that's where we're living. And whether your choice of screen device is Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, maybe you like Netflix, YouTube, video games, whatever it is, you're spending an enormous amount of time doing that. And by the way, there's a thing called Screen Time that will tell you how much time you're spending on it. It's a lovely app that will just tell you everything that you're doing. And you don't want to see it. But what's your motivation? Are you bored? Fun, compulsion, escape, addiction? Because let me tell you what it leads to. It leads to coveting, comparison, approval, FOMO. That means fear of missing out. Your fear of missing out. Man, this is so prevalent in students. But you know what? I'm finding it's even prevalent in adults. They just fear of missing out. You know, say, I'm going to miss out on something. So it does all these things in us and to us, and we'll talk more about that next week. But as I close, let me just, three quick questions. How is this glorifying God and growing the gospel in me? Like when you think about technology, how is it glorifying God and growing the gospel in me? How is technology doing that in my life? Second question is, how is this glorifying God and spreading the gospel to others? Like the way technology, its role in my life, how is it glorifying God and helping spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus to others, right? And then the last question is basically saying, how is this leading me to give thanks and praise to God for the for his good gifts? So if I'm enjoying a meal, if I'm enjoying the car ride down here that I don't have to walk a day to get here to preach in Benton, that how am I thanking God for the gifts of transportation? How am I thanking God for the food that's on my table? How am I thanking God for the lights that are on in my house? How am I thanking, you with me? How am I taking the gifts of technology in my life and giving praise and thanks to God? But in order to do this, you got to slow down a little bit, okay? In order to kind of live this way, you got to slow down a little bit. And that's why we are calling the church to fast and pray for the next 3 days, okay? Some of you know what fasting is. Some of you may not know, okay? But fasting is a biblical practice where we stop doing something to focus on the Lord. So I'm going to encourage you, okay? We're going to do this as a church. We're encouraging people to join us in this as believers in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then it really may not make sense to you to even do this. Unless you want to take 3 days and fast from something so that you can seek God in a way that says, show me if you're real or not, right? But for those of us who are believers, I want to encourage you. Some of you have never fasted before. I'm going to encourage you to fast from food or screens or both. That means you can fast all 3 days from food. Some people may choose to do that. You may choose to fast from breakfast. You may choose to fast from lunch, okay? You may choose to fast from supper, all right? Or dinner, whatever you call it. You may choose to fast from that. But listen, the reason you fast is not because you gain weight in the holidays, okay? The reason you fast is because you want to seek God. And you want to say, I want more of you. Let me tell you something. I'm heading into these 3 days, and I've got some specific things that I'm laying out to God, saying, God, I want your wisdom and guidance in this. Julie and I are taking some time to pray over some things. But I'm also saying, God, I want more of you. You're better. Cameron mentioned it earlier. Jesus, you're better than all these things, and these next 3 days are going to remind me because I'm going to say no to these things and yes to you. So I don't eat lunch, and I go pray in my office or in my car or on a walk or whatever, and I seek the Lord in that time, saying, God, show me more of yourself. That's what it looks like. I'm going to encourage some of you to say no to screens, especially teenagers. Put it down. Walk away from it for 3 days. And don't just walk away from it, okay? The time that you'd be doing this, okay, or this, okay? The time that you'd be doing that, get this out and say, God, show me who you are. Show me who you are. Show me who I am, okay? And just see, because what some of you are going to learn is that you are so dependent on that you're missing dependence upon God, and he's the one who can really redeem your life, not your technological device, okay? So I want to encourage you. Let your friends know today. Going to be off Snapchat for the next 3 days. Going to be off Instagram for the next 3 days. Going to be off Facebook for the next 3 days. Going to be off Twitter for the next 3 days. Don't make a big show about it. Don't announce it to the whole world in the sense to say, hey, look at me. Just maybe want to let people know I'm going to be absent. I didn't die. I didn't fall off the face of the earth. I'm just taking some time to kind of connect, reconnect. I want to encourage you to do it, okay? Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's going to culminate with a worship night here in this place, right here. You're going to come and you're going to feast on the Lord. You're going to come and focus on the Lord. And it's going to be amazing. Right? And the reason we're asking you to register for that, okay, is because we're going to send you like a 4-sentence email with some scripture that just says, hey, I want to encourage you. And if you're fasting from screens, this will help you. You'll be like, oh, email. Yeah. Okay, you'll be able to get to see something, right, for just a moment, okay? Listen, please don't go to your workplace and go, well, my pastor told me to fast, so I can't really read work emails this week. Okay, that's not what we're saying either, right? So don't we blame it on me or Cody or whoever else, right? Listen, the reality of it is that we need to take some time to focus on the Lord. Teenagers in the room, come on, come with us. Okay, grow up a little bit in your faith, come with us. Okay, some of you who are older in the faith, senior adults, okay, come on, come with us. You may not be able to fast from some things, you may not be able to fast from the screen for a month, you may not be able to fast from food for a little bit, come with us, fast from something, get away from something. Okay. By the way, you can't fast from your parents or kids. Okay, get away from something. Okay, and put your focus on the Lord, and see what He does. Okay, I've gone over time this morning. I know, and I appreciate your time, but I want you to know, as we think about gospel and culture, listen. What you want to shape you the most is not culture. You want the gospel to shape you, because when the gospel shapes you, you will shape your culture. That's what we want. Okay, let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for your word to us. And I pray that you would lead us in better ways, Lord. We know that your technology is a gift that you've given to us. And Lord, I'm thankful for FaceTime, and I'm thankful for Facebook, and I'm thankful for my smartphone, and I'm thankful for my iPad, and I'm thankful for my TV, and I'm thankful for all the things that you've given to me. But Lord, I know that many times I have looked to them for hope instead of you. And I pray that you would realign my heart and my mind with you. And this morning, that's what many of us need. And so as we close our time together, Lord, we just want our devotion to be with you, towards you, because we need you. And so, Lord, there's going to be a lot of confession maybe of sin this week, of ways that we've desired your gifts rather than you, the giver. We've desired creation rather than you, the creator. And I pray that you would speak to us and lead us in greater ways. Lord, we need you every moment of every hour of every day. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.